Unicorns, they are not just my daughter's favorite animals. They are also startups that have become billion-dollar enterprises. They are the ultimate goal that every entrepreneur should strive for, so we have been told. But what if we raise the question, can we work together and create a community-driven unicorn? Welcome to Communicorn, the podcast where we explore different ways of building and engaging communities. We uncover the roles that communities play in driving social change. And we ask, what can we learn from social innovators who are reshaping the economy beyond profit making? Let's build the future together. Hi, my name is Stefan, and I'm the host of this session of Communicorn. And I'm pleased to welcome Esin Ragas today on this show. Esin is a journalist, founder of Samoa, an organic tea brand, and vice president of FC St. Pauli, the professional football club that you all know, I'm pretty sure. Great having you on this show.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you.
Esin, you are a global citizen. You have lived in several countries on multiple continents, and you're a multi-talented person, journalist, entrepreneur, and now you're trying to change the future of football in a more sustainable direction. So in this podcast, we want to understand how communities can play a role in shaping this picture. So to begin with, imagine Samoa or St. Pauli and paint us a picture. How does a community look like in your understanding?
It always looked like a planet because the big community we are living in is this planet flying through the universe. So on this planet, you have several smaller planets, satellites with communities. So everything is always round for me. So like a football and like a cup of tea.
That sounds great. Can you give us, since you talked about tea, give us a bit of background on your organization, for instance, on Samoa? What are you doing there?
Yeah, Samoa is a brand for organic tea, actually, which was not founded as an enterprise. It was founded as a community. After 9/11, some friends and we had the need and the wish to do something against war, against aggression. And we started an event for our friends and business partners. And for that reason, we tried to find a concept. And I had the idea because I come from cultures. My father's Turkish. I lived in Russia for several years. And I come from cultures where tea is the middle of life, of drinking. And I said, okay, let's do a big tea party, a tea dance. Where you can have fun and find friends, because for me, tea is a very friendly beverage. You offer tea to strangers in nearly every culture, and you are peaceful while you're drinking tea. So we started a big tea party, actually, and we invited 100 persons, friends, and told them to bring other friends. And it ended up in 600 people coming to this tea party.
Wow.
100 of them were kids, and we had it was kind of wedding, but only the nice relatives were invited. So it was a big party. And after that party, everybody wants to drink the tea that I brought from my home. I did some mixtures of my own because in my pregnancy with my sons, and after that feeding my children, I was searching for herbal teas, and I was creating them at home. So I brought them to this tea party, and I gave them the name Samoa, and we created a brand, everything for this party. And after this party, everybody came and said, we want to buy this tea, we want to drink this tea at home. TV came, and journalists came who were invited as friends at the party. They said, wow, this was so cool at this time. And yeah, then a big company came and said, we want to sell your tea in our furniture stores. And that was the moment when I thought, okay, we could make a business about this, or we could create a community, but we have to have a company for it to be sure that with assurance and stuff, if you sell a beverage to people, you have to be sure that everything's fine. And so we created a small company, a website, and yeah, that's 22 years ago. Today we are a tea brand in the German and international market, specialized on herbal and all organic products. That's how Samova started.
That's a fantastic story. So it sounds like Samova actually started as an accidental community gathering where you had this initial inspiration to bring people together, but not really planned to start a company in the first place. That only happened afterwards.
Completely. And our claim for the party was, we believe in friendship and tasty hot water. And this is until today, it's our claim for the company. And we are always looking for nice people working together with. And yeah, the brand and the product is not really, you can't see it as a normal brand, because we don't have salespersons running around and looking for a new business. It's always like mouth to mouth, and people who find us in a hotel or in a restaurant and then come to us and say, I want to buy this also for my home, or I want to take you to my business. So yeah, it's a community.
Great. And when you think about today, how would you say, what is the overarching goal of Samova, and what is the role that community plays in it?
Our overarching goal is to have fun and to make our living from it, and the living of our partners and of the people who are part of our company, part of our community. And for me, Samova is always like a playground also for creative people. It's also a kind of experience or experiment for creating a kind of green economy, trying if it's possible to find a good way of economy in this field of capitalism where we live, if you can change it into something positive.
So you are actually wearing multiple hats. You're also the vice president of FC St. Pauli, and in several other roles, you are very, very active. So what kind of change do you want to create in the world? If you are looking, is there a common denominator, something that connects all your activities?
Yeah, of course. I was grown up in very different cultures and countries due to the job of my dad. He was a diplomat for the Turkish state. Everywhere I came, I was born in the States, I went to school in Russia, I also lived in many other countries, and I felt that people who start arguing always do this because they don't have enough information about the other side. So I think it's all about communication and community, because we are a big community also with all the plants and the animals on this earth. So for me, this sustainable kind of idea was always in the middle of my work, even before this sustainable, the word of sustainability came into society like it did, fortunately. But this was always my idea, to create something, as I said in the beginning, round like the earth, that everybody can live peacefully together and breathe. This sounds a little bit like a fairy tale, but I think I heard lots of fairy tales when I was young. And as a journalist, I used to be a cinema journalist, and I always liked the happy end at the end of the global blockbuster. So this is what I try to do in my life also.
So you're sitting in the right podcast, the Communicorn. We also believe a little bit in fairy tales, but we also want to go a bit deeper and try to kind of see what are the difficulties here. And I'm really inspired by everything you've been saying. Though one thing that I find personally a little bit challenging to understand is often having the vision and the mission, that's beautiful, that's clear, but how do you actually get it to work? So financing is often a really big issue. What do you have to do to really be able to finance such models that try to transform and maybe break with the conventional ideas and practices of some of our capitalist mainstream models?
Yeah, I think you know already the answer because you work about communities. I always believe in finding finance in community also. I never worked with a bank for my enterprise. Of course, for the football, we had to do this before my time.
Yeah.
And now I believe in community money, actually. And I think you can always, if you have a nice idea and you have a kind of euphorism, you can find people who help you financing your ideas and your projects. People who stand behind you and who are not like a bank pulling you all the time. And the business of a bank is to make money mm-hmm. of your need of money. This is not very productive if you want to live a fairy tale. This is not really the way to do it. So the answer is get your community convinced and find people who have enough money to invest into projects so they will give you your money.
Can you give us a concrete example? So in your role of vice president of FC St. Pauli, you went through an interesting process last year,
yes.
founding a cooperative. Maybe you can tell and the listeners of our podcast who might not know the St. Pauli financing model, what is it all about?
Yeah, at St. Pauli, we know that professional football really needs lots of money, and we still live in this kind of sports business. For me, it's an entertainment business also, so you can really compare it. And you need a lot of money to live in it. And so most of the clubs in the world, they're looking for rich people, giving them money, or organizations or brands, enterprises. And at St. Pauli, we believe in community. That's why I'm sitting here, I think. And we asked our community, our fans, members of our club, everybody who likes the FC St. Pauli and the idea that a different kind of professional football is possible, we asked them to come into a kind of cooperative. We founded a cooperative 1 year ago and collected now money. I think today it's round about 23 millions of euros we could collect, and now we can work with this money and we don't need a big investor who would be interested in giving his opinion into the kind of our work. And it's quite simple. You also can collect a big amount of money with lots of small amounts given by your friends or members. And at my business Samova, I found a very good family business partner, which is Seeberger. You know it from the nuts and the dried fruit. Mm-hmm. And they are my partner, and they let me do what I want with my brand. But at the same time, they are my security net for investing into innovation.
Mm-hmm. I love that you say community is absolutely central in everything that you're doing. But engaging a community is also a bit difficult and makes things more complex. So if I picture, let's stay with the St. Pauli case for a minute maybe. If I'm an investor or an active supporter of the club, how does the club allow me to be active? What kind of participation is actually happening there?
Yeah, we don't allow people to be active. We ask people to be active, and this is the way our club is organized. We We have big meetings of our members where we discuss things, and they are voting for us being president or, in my case, vice president. So the whole system of our club is built on being a community also. And we need this participation of our members for our work, mm-hmm. because we are not interested in ruling like a king or something, which you can see in several clubs perhaps also. But in our case, it's a community of people who really like to work together, to engage for their also political ideas of society. I always say it's also political work, working for the football club, because I meet people there who believe in democracy as I do. And so, we're not a patriarchal system.
Could you give us a concrete example? I think that's really, really interesting. So if decision-making doesn't take place from top down, but members are not just encouraged, but actually they have to be part of the decision-making process, how should I picture this? How does that happen?
Yeah, it happens that you need people who love to be active. That is the basis. If you have lots of people who want to hide in their life and who don't want to interfere, it's more difficult. But at St. Pauli, we don't have the problem. We have really lots of people who really like to be engaged and to work together for their ideas. And I think our job as vice president or president or people who work at St. Pauli in higher positions, our work is the management of these ideas of our members and fans. Mm-hmm. And we try to sort out, okay, which idea could we use in our daily life and work. And a concrete example is perhaps our merchandise. We had a meeting of our members where a young lady gave in the idea that St. Pauli should be more sustainable in producing merchandising and textile tricots, merchandising. So this came to a vote, and all the members voted, yes, we want to do this, and our presidents have to do the job to make this possible. And we did it several years ago, and now we are I think we played a big role now in the question of fair textile, and we have other things like, you know, food, organic cultivated food in the stadium during for the catering. And yeah, it's things that our members, our fans, and of course us, we like. And if we get a majority for it, we do it.
So just to understand the example of your club member who brought up the idea that you need fairer and more sustainable merchandise. Basically, you then gather, because you say you needed to vote on this, you all gather in the Millantor stadium and let everyone vote. And if a majority says, hey, yeah, this is what we want to support, then the club has to do this. Is this correct?
Nearly correct. We only once met in the stadium, because this costs lots of more money to meet there, and it's not allowed to meet on the green. Everybody thinks, oh, I would be on
the holy green.
Yeah, we are meeting in another place where we don't need so much security for organizing such a big meeting, because it's like 1,000 or 2,000 people coming there. But on the other hand, it's correct what you said. There are people sitting. Everybody is invited. Every one of our nowadays 40, nearly soon, I hope, 50,000 members, they are invited. And if they come, they can vote. If they don't come, they don't vote, and we don't hear the voice. So, yeah, people are sitting there, and then you are giving a paper, and you're giving a speech for your idea, and after that, you vote, like in a parliament.
Sounds extremely democratic. So it's almost like a perfect model, but as with all these models, I can imagine that there are also some downsides to it, especially when you have communities that are very heterogeneous. I mean, we all have our individual preferences. And if you want to create consensus of 40, in the future 50,000 supporters, how do you try to mitigate this process of like conflict resolution, or are there no conflicts emerging at all?
Oh, we live from our conflicts. I think we are not anxious about discussing, and we like conflicts as long as they are fair and discussions, and that's how we do. We have big discussions there, and this is also a big point that the media sitting in the room also, so you can imagine that it's not always easy afterwards how it is put in the media. But we are very transparent organization, and for that reason, we don't we are not afraid to face conflicts and discussions. And sometimes it's getting wild. It's true, but that's a fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun, but also intense moments.
Yeah, sure.
So, can you give us maybe another example? How has the community been able to drive also innovations? I mean, perhaps social innovations, because FC St. Pauli is very known for being one of the front runners in driving social change, at least in the football sector, but also through football, right? So can you think of other examples that the community is really driving these innovations?
Yeah, I think everything we do is kind of innovative. Like we have an awareness team. I can perhaps give an example from my tea business. Some years ago, I learned that somebody invented a material made from wood, which you can use as the cover of our tea bags, you know, the couverts, the sachets of the tea bags. And this material is not only compostable, it's garden compostable. In Germany, this is the highest level of compostable certificate. And everybody, when I said I want this material as a cover for my, as a packaging for my tea bags, everybody said she's crazy because this is much more expensive and nobody tried it. And I did it, and we paid it, and I convinced my investors to give me some money for this solution. And nowadays it's our USP. We have big clients who change to our tea. Of course, they change to our tea because they like our tea, but also because we are the first who use this material, and which is completely 100% without plastic free, oil free. And at St. Pauli, that's why I've been asked to go to St. Pauli, I think, because I'm quite known for this material in the tea business. So at FC St. Pauli, I try to do the same thing, just to do good things so that, you know, business can follow. And as we are really strict in sustainable work now at St. Pauli, that's my job to look after that. Several big brands came to us and said, we want to learn from you. We want to work together with FC St. Pauli, and we want to invest. We want to give you money as a sponsor, not invest. We want to sponsor you. That's the better word. Because your work is such a sustainable, model. That's I don't know if you get my point. If you do something good, and a good business will follow, and that is a strategy to to get these things done.
I would actually like to understand that a bit better. What you are explaining to me is that you have been successful in developing and scaling a sustainability initiative so that it becomes also financially interesting.
Yes.
And what we are really interested in this podcast is also to understand, are there, maybe you have come to appreciate certain scaling mechanisms and practices in any of your functions that you can recommend? So you already said, like, believe in first having kind of a solid initiative, but then how do you get it to scale? How do you do that?
I'm coming from communication journalism, so my way is to tell people, I'm sitting here, I'm telling you, is to tell people about what I'm doing or what we are doing and about our ideas. So nothing works if you do things in your, hidden somewhere, nobody gets to know about this. So in German you say, tu gutes und sprich darüber, it's like, do something well and tell it to other people. So tell it to the media, get some newsletters go, get some websites where people can see it, or even in football surroundings you can do it, you know, on the publicity button at the side while the TV show is going on, and people look the match. They can read in our stadium what we are doing for sustainability, for society. And this is our way how to scale it, because people want to be part of our community. They see, wow, I like these people. They are doing cool things. They are living my ideas, I would like to join. And then they come and they give their spirit, they give money to work with. It's also in this kind, the solution is in community. You have to, if you want to create a community, you have to meet people. And in order to meet people, you have to invite people, you have to create a nice atmosphere where people want to go. And it's the same at a football club. We have a really marvelous spirit in our stadium, and people like to go there and see the matches. So you are a community when you are meeting and having fun together, and having feelings together. And then you can organize yourself about, how do you communicate? Do you have a newsletter? Do you have social media? Do you have meetings? I prefer always offline events and meetings, and meeting personally. That has more quality. But also, you have to be a networker. I think I'm quite of a networker.
Fascinating. So scaling impact through growing the community and making people want to be part of it. Sounds almost like a movement that you are creating, at least in spirit.
And everything is a movement in life.
Talking about today's, your business, what are the current dreams that you're pursuing? Or is there anything in particular that you get really excited about when you think about the communities, the impact that you're trying to generate?
Yeah, peace. Peace on earth is my dream, and I know that you can't reach peace in every kind, because we're living in a system where, you know, eating each other for some animals, or, you know, eating plants and stuff. I'm not believing nobody should never eat each other, or this would be a fairy tale which never would come true. And I think the point is getting people together, getting systems together. For me, all the living individuals on this planet are a big team. We can't live without plants. We can't live without ecosystems. So my dream is that the animal of mankind, of humans, would use their brain to understand this and come to a way of life where, you know, sustainability is not a trend vocabulary, where it is the basis of the understanding of our life. Mm. And we all don't know where we are really floating in this universe. We supposed to know, and we are perhaps afraid about about not knowing everything. And I would like to be I would like people to be less afraid, and that would lead into a more peaceful life together. So yeah,
that's a beautiful recommendation to all our listeners. We are already reaching the end of our podcast session for today. As a final thing, please picture a triangle. And in one corner, we have community. In the other one, we have impact. And in the third one, we have enterprise. Where would you position your initiative in this triangle? Do you have a certain tendency? Are you leaning in one direction?
Community. For me, everything is community. So I'm not at triangles. My thinking is not at triangles. It's at circles. Mm-hmm. So I think we need all of that. If you define enterprise at the way of the possibility of staying alive. So I would stay in the middle of it a little bit more at community, I think.
Thank you very much for this conversation. It was great pleasure having you on the show, Aysin.
Thank you, Stefan.
So this brings us to the end of this conversation. We have been exploring new ways to build impact through communities, through the examples of Samovar and also the FC St. Pauli. Gained a lot of new insights, and now it's up to you. Take these insights and turn that into something to build your own communities. Let's create, connect, and make a difference. Until next time, see you.